Well, Jake already prayed, so I'm not going to. Let's jump right into it. All right, so the series y'all are in right now is called what? Priming the Pump. And last couple of weeks you've been talking about priming the pump. And I love that concept. I first heard about that concept right after I got saved. I was probably 20 years old. I got saved when I was 19. And Joe Calhoun, who goes to church here, Joe's sick today, his wife Diane's sitting here. Joe turned me on to a speaker by the name of Zig Ziglar. Anybody ever heard of him? Changed my life. I listen to cassette tapes, you young people. Those are like Spotify or something. I don't know, whatever. But I just love, Zig did a deal on priming the pump. And I asked Jake, I said, did you guys already do this? He said, no. I said, can I show this little video? And he said, yes. So if you'll play that little two-minute video, this is Zig Ziglar talking about priming a pump.
Years ago, we're riding around in the South Alabama foothills. It was a hot August day, and they got thirsty. Bernard Haygood was driving. Jimmy Glenn was the passenger. They pulled behind this old abandoned farmhouse, and Bernard hopped out. He ran over, and there was an old pump on the well, and he grabbed the handle and he started the pump. How many of you have ever used one of these old-fashioned water pumps? Can I see your hand, please? Okay, well, he had just a pumping away, you know it. After about 3 or 4 minutes, he said, Jimmy, better get that old bucket over there and dip some water out of the creek. We're going to have to prime the pump. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say you got to prime the pump? Well, for you underprivileged non-pumpers, that just means you got to put something in here before you get something out there. Can't you just see an old farmer standing out in the fields in October and saying, Lord, I know I didn't plant a thing this year, but if you give me a big crop this year, I'll plant more than anybody next year. It ain't that way, folks. You got to put something in before you can expect to get anything out. Well, he's just a pumping away. You know, that's hot. It's August. I mean, the question is just how much pumping are you going to do for a drink of water? And finally, old Bernard said, you know, Jimmy, I don't believe it's any water down there. Jimmy said, yeah, it is, Bernard. You know, in South Alabama, the wells are deep. And, oh, we're glad they're deep because the deeper the well, the cooler, the cleaner, the sweeter, the purer, the better tasting the water. And isn't that true of life? Isn't it true that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly? Until you can learn to do it well. We'll never know how much more success we would have had we just had a little more pumping in there and pump and pump and pump and pump. Well, finally, old Bernard just got disgusted. He threw up his hand. He said, Jimmy, there's just no water down there. Jimmy said, don't stop, Bernard. Don't stop. If you stop, the water's going to go all the way back down, and then you're going to have to start all over. The reality is, folks, and I'm totally convinced of this, this is the story of America. This is your story. This is the story of success. This is the story of life. I believe with all of my heart that if you will pump long enough and hard enough and enthusiastically enough, that eventually the reward is going to follow the effort. And then once that water starts to flow, all you got to do is just keep a little easy, steady pressure on it, and you're going to get more water than you can possibly use.
Guys, there we go. I love that video. I love Zig Ziglar. He changed my life. I remember just devouring his stuff as a young business person. And I remember many times in life when I was ready to quit on various things, I'd think about that video. Hey, you got to keep pumping. You got to keep pumping. You got to put something in. You got to keep pumping. You got to keep pumping. And that applies to every area in our life. Now, our message is entitled Withdrawals Today. Has anybody here ever gone through withdrawals? Show of hands. Oh, my gosh. That's like 80% of the people here have gone through withdrawal. I want somebody just to yell out loud, tell me something that when you were going through withdrawals, what you experienced. Just like one word, just throw it out. Somebody. Craving. Pain. Pain? Okay. Suffering? Okay. Fear? Okay. All right. All right. So when you're going through withdrawals, you've got a craving for what you're withdrawing from. You think about it all the time. You know, fear. Somebody brought up fear. Now, that's not the kind of withdrawals that we're talking about today. We're going to talk about a different kind of withdrawals. Show of hands here. Who has ever had to read a manual for something, for your job or for something? Anybody here? Okay. Gabby, you work at Jimmy John's. Gabby, what's my favorite sandwich at Jimmy John's? See, number 10. That's right. That's right. All right. Now, Gabby's in leadership there. She has a manual that tells her at the end of the shift what's supposed to happen. So various people have to clean things and sanitize things. They don't just kind of willy-nilly go about it. They have a manual. When you first start there, you got to learn that stuff, right? Okay. We have HR manuals. We have all kinds of manuals, books that we have to learn about as we go through life. I'm a pilot. I had to learn, I mean, it's crazy what they make you learn considering you only use about that much of it. And I mean, just books you've got to study and they quiz you on it. And you've got to know stuff about Loran towers that don't even exist anymore. We don't even use them, but I got to know all the frequencies and how it works. But as a pilot, we learn things, we memorize things. They call it a flow. You know, you don't want a pilot flying along and an emergency come up and they're going, now, wait a minute, what am I supposed to do now? There's certain things that we have to have deposited inside of us so that when something comes up under stress and duress, we can withdraw it out, okay? At work, there's certain things that we have to study in manuals and stuff. So anyway, but today we're going to talk about withdrawals from a biblical perspective. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and in their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. You know, the first time I read that scripture, I didn't understand it the way I understand it today. The Bible says faith come by hearing and what? Hearing and hearing. Sometimes we got to hear something a few times. And I remember when I got a revelation on this where it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I thought, what? That can't be right. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you've been led somewhere by the Spirit. Maybe it's a desert experience for you, you know? And maybe you're being tempted by the devil. I don't know. If the devil tempted Jesus, I figure he's a lot higher up the food chain than we are. So if he thought it might work on him, then he probably thinks it'll work on us, right? All right. So after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written. So all throughout the rest of Scripture, they go back and forth where Satan was taking the Word of God and trying to manipulate Jesus by using the Word against him. Come on, jump off of this building. I'll take you up here on the steeple. You jump off because it says, it's written, that the Lord will catch you and your foot won't hit a stone. But what was Jesus' response every time? It is what? It is what? It is written. Also, it is written. That's right. That's right. And then finally at the end, he says, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came to attend to him. Now, folks, you can't withdraw something you've never deposited, right? I think you talked about finances last week. I'm assuming y'all understand that. If you don't have money in your bank, you can't withdraw it out, right? Same principle here. If you don't have the word inside of you, when the devil comes to tempt you, and he will, okay, you can't withdraw something you've never deposited. I'm going to give you a... Oh, it says at the end of this, after all this happened, the 40 days in the wilderness and the devil tempts him, then it says Jesus begins to preach. Maybe you're like that pump example that Zig was talking about. Maybe you're going through some stuff and you're pumping and pumping and pumping and you're not seeing any fruit from it yet. But maybe you're just a pump or two away. I mean, Jesus, there was multiple times where the enemy went at him. He didn't go, oh, I'm going to quit right now. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit because Satan's over here tempting me. No. It is written. 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 I don't know how many times you have to go through it. Satan will try to use the word of God against you. The only offensive weapon God gives us to fight our enemy is the word of God. Jesus didn't say, hang on, let me Google this for just a second. I'll get back with you on some scripture. Okay? We have to hide things in our heart. Yeah, it's great to have a Bible. I'm assuming there's a Bible under every pew in this place. I'm assuming y'all have a smartphone or an iPad. We have access to Bibles in this country like no other place I've ever been. I've been to 49 countries. It's amazing. But God still wants us to. I have a manual in my airplane. It's in the Kansas City airport. It's a big, thick book with all kinds of stuff in it. It's right there where I can get to it. But there's a lot of stuff that I've got memorized. It's called a flow. God wants us to have a flow so that when the enemy attacks, we can withdraw things and pull it out to fight back. So he'll leave us alone and we can go on and do our ministry. Now, I'm 55 years old. When I was 19, my dad died. When I was 18, he was diagnosed with cancer, and he died when I was, he was 52. I thought my dad was really old when he died. You know, I'm 55. My dad was young when he died. Now that I'm older, you know, kind of. Anyway, but I have two speeds in life, on and off, and when I got saved on October the 19th, I started devouring God's word. I went to church literally every day, okay? I wanted everything I could get. I was just gobbling it up, okay? And I got to share the gospel with my dad right before he died. He died in December. So it was a very short period of time in there. And when my dad died, he asked me before he died, he said, son, I want you to take care of your mother. I'd been on my own for a couple of years. And he said, I want you to move back home. I want you to take care of your mom. I said, yes, sir. You know, I was holding his hand early in the morning when he died at the hospital up in Omaha. And I moved back home to take care of my mother. And you know what? I was driving my mom nuts. I didn't understand why till later in life, but she was angry with me all the time. I would go out and clean the pool. I'd clean the gutters. I'd do, you know, whatever needed to be done. They had a big house, and I moved back home to help her with it. And I found out later as an adult, actually right before I got married, she told my wife, she didn't tell me, but she said, Tim, it made me so angry to see him because he reminded me of his dad. He was out doing these things that his dad used to do, and she was angry because she'd lost her husband. She's 51 years old, you know, and lost her husband. And so she was angry with me a lot, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I was a young Christian. I was praying one day, and somebody led me to a Mark 43. It says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed with two hands than to go to hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. So you know what? I had a voice, small, still voice, talking to me while I was reading that, saying, you're a terrible son. You need to end your life today. Okay, you need to kill yourself. I wrote out a 2-page handwritten suicide note, pulled a gun out, laid it on the bed, and I'm thinking, okay, this is God speaking to me. I was a young believer. I didn't know any better. Satan was perverting God's word and my limited knowledge of it to try to get me to kill myself. Folks, let me tell you something. This is your free advice for the day. If you hear a small, still voice and it's telling you to kill yourself, it's not God, okay? I didn't know that back then, but I do now. But let me tell you what God did. Because I had made deposits in my heart of God's word, he led me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, before I blew my brains out. And he said, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Now let me tell you something. I've never had a suicidal thought in my life since that day. I was at a very low time, you know. Satan attacks us at low times. Jesus was hungry after 40 days in the wilderness. He knows, you know, he knows his job. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. Our only weapon against him is God's word. And we have to be able to say, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. How many of you all have ever seen the movie, The Book of Eli, with Denzel Washington? Okay, it's not Sunday school, so don't judge me here on the content of the book, of the movie, but it's a powerful story about a blind man being led across the United States during post-apocalyptic times to deliver the last Bible on earth. Okay, now I'm thankful that we don't live in the times of the Book of Eli, the movie, where there's only one Bible left on the entire planet. Okay, there's tons of Bibles. So we don't have to depend on what we have hidden in our heart. We can go access the Bible from almost anywhere. And I'm very grateful for that. Okay? So how do we deposit the word so that we can withdraw it when we need it? We have to meditate on it. I'm going to blow through some scriptures really quick here. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful." In Psalms, I'm going to breeze through a bunch of Psalms real quick. 119:15 says, "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds." In Psalm 119:23 says, "Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Cause me to understand the ways of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds." Psalm 119:78 says, "I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees." Let's throw in one more here. "I remember the days of long. I meditate on all your works and consider all that your hands have done." Psalm 143, verse 5. So our lives are changed by the things we listen to, the things we read, the things we watch. That Zig Ziglar deal changed my life. I had the privilege of meeting Zig Ziglar numerous times because of my friend Joe. Joe and Zig were really good friends. I got to go to Zig's 85th birthday party. That was awesome. Zig called me up one day and asked me to come do a chapel service for him, for a couple hundred people. And that was awesome. Got to have lunch with him and hang out, and we became friends. He was writing a book shortly before he died. I was chapter number 6, I think, in the book of people that took the principles that he taught and applied them to change their lives and other people's lives. I deposited what I learned from him, and it helped me to be a better person. Now, the most important thing, and that was fun, and that helped me, the most important thing I ever did was start reading God's word. And I had people challenge me on that. So being challenged is a wonderful thing. I'm going to share a couple quick stories. I have a person that I know that's 14, and this young man, I've been sowing into his life for a long time. And he started lying to his parents. He told his mom, "Hey, Dad said I can do this," and he told Dad, "Hey, Mom said I could do this," and he went to a movie, turned off his phone, didn't go to church, didn't come home until 9:30. They didn't know where he was at. His mom called me and said, "He really respects you. Could you please talk to him?" So we were together last summer, and I found a time where we could sit and talk. And I said, hey, buddy, I understand you've been going through some challenges. You know, and shared with him how God's word changed my life. And I said, I want to challenge you to do something. If you will read one chapter in the book of Proverbs, there's 31. If you'll read one, like today is the 20th, so read the 20th chapter. And then read in the Bible app on your phone. He's got a smartphone. On your phone, read the Bible verse of the day from the Bible app. And then send me a text and tell me what you got out of that. If you do that for 31 days without fail, I'll give you $50. Kid's money motivated. He's like, heck yeah, I'll do that. He went 10 days and he failed. Never called me, never did anything. I saw him a month later and found a time when we were walking down the street where I could talk to him and say, hey, whatever happened to our deal? He goes, oh, man, I forgot that night, and I was embarrassed, didn't want to call you. And I said, all this stuff you've been reading in the Bible, you didn't think I'd show you a little grace? He goes, yeah, I didn't think about that. I said, okay, that deal's done. I'll offer you another deal. If you'll do this, 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 and we added a couple things to it, five chapters in Psalms. I said, but I'm not going to pay you $50. He said, okay. I said, I'll pay you $100. Kid didn't miss a day. When he gets married, I'm going to put all these in a book and I'm going to give them to him. This kid can write. I mean, he's a young man. He was writing this very eloquent stuff that I learned today in Proverbs, that boom, 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 boom. Psalms taught me this. The scripture that ended up getting to share Jesus with him, he asked Jesus into his heart because one of the scriptures was Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at your door knocking. And use that scripture to lead him to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? So I made a deposit into this young man that I'll never get a withdrawal out of that, but he will. Okay? He's hiding and he's continuing to do it. And then God put that on my heart. That was in August. Right after that ended, I got a friend with three daughters. He's in Washington, D.C. They're in Dallas with their mother, and he got moved up there for work. And the Lord just said, hey, you know what? These kids need some stuff. And rather than just giving them some money, I said, hey, girls, they were a senior in high school. They're about a year and a half apart. I said, if you girls will read one chapter in Proverbs, five chapters in Psalms, and seven pages out of the New Testament, and write to me every day what you got out of it, I'll give you $200 each. But you miss one day, if one of the three of you miss one day, the deal's off. These young ladies were motivated. They did it. I went in, gave them each a check for $200 after it was done. Their dad called me this week. This was back in December when they finished. He called me last week, goes, hey, Tim, you didn't know this. My oldest daughter, she's a very gifted athlete, this African-American family, just an incredibly gifted athlete, but she was going off on some wrong paths. He said, Tim, that changed her. He goes, you saved my daughter. He said, that, I didn't save her daughter, but that path that she took changed her life. He said, she's going to a Christian college now. She was going to a secular school. She said, Daddy, I want to go somewhere where I can be fed and people can encourage me and hold me accountable. Okay? So, made a little challenge. After that, I'm an honorary coach at John Brown University's men's basketball team. I've been working with these guys, these coaches, for about 7 years. Started with Joe. We brought Joe in for leadership training down at our training center in Kansas. And I did this with them. 15 basketball players. This was dumb, okay? 15 guys were sending me emails and texts every night. And I was reading each one. I got more out of it than they did because I got to read their perspective of the word through that. It took me like an hour every day just to go through and read their stuff and then reply back to them. And you know what? They screwed up big time. These are college kids. Now, they all did it, but they would turn it in like the next morning. I said, it's got to be, I have to have it by midnight or the deal's off. If one of you guys on the team messes up, it's off. I said, but if you do it, I'll take you out. I go to two games a year and I suit up, you know, in a suit on the bench and I help coach. It's a blast. Anyway, so they failed. So I did a chapel service here a few weeks ago on grace. I said, you guys failed. I don't owe you anything. You don't deserve to have dinner because you didn't do your part. Kind of like the Old Testament, you know, whole bunch of rules and stuff. I said, now let's talk about grace. We showed them some grace. and we took him there. That's us at the nicest restaurant in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, I think is where John Brown University is. So we took him out to this really nice restaurant. And these kids' lives are being changed because of a little challenge. You know? Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Several of these kids have said, hey, this has changed my life, Mr. Valentine. My Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Job 22:21 says, submit to God, be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. So, do you see the theme here about depositing stuff? I tried to give you some examples of, I make deposits into people's life that I'll never get a withdrawal from. I mean, these kids on the basketball team, I've been doing this for 7 years. I still get emails from them, but I don't get anything out of it. I don't get paid to minister. I'm not smart enough to get paid for it like Bob and some other people. You know, my son's a pastor up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I've been a pastor almost 20 years, and I just made it. I'm a businessman. I don't need to get paid for it. And it's just something I want to do. It's my way of giving back. I ministered 72 times in 2017, and I make deposits into people's lives I'll never get a withdrawal from. To me, those are the best kind. So I want to show a little two-minute clip here of the last part of the book of Eli. And go ahead and start it. I'm going to narrate here for just a second.
I got a couple of good...
Okay, so now he's carried the Bible all the way across the United States. In the movie, you find out halfway through he's blind. He's led by the Spirit of God. People are trying to kill him, and he's punching them in the face because the Holy Spirit says, punch to your right, you know, and stuff. It's just awesome. I loved it. Anyway, and you find out the Bible isn't a book. He's memorized the entire Bible. He's the last Bible on earth. And here he is reciting it to the scribes who are making copies of it so that it can continue to change people's lives. Listen to his words.
Thank you for giving me the strength and the conviction to complete the task you entrusted to me. For your protection and for your many signs along the way. Thank you for any good that I may have done. I'm so sorry about the bad.
You don't have to leave, you know. You're very welcome to stay here. You'll be perfectly safe.
Thank you. But this is something that I have to do.
Where will you go?
Thank you for the friend I made. Please watch over her as you watched over me. Thank you for finally allowing me to rest. I'm so very tired, but I go now to my rest at peace, knowing that I have done right with my time on this earth. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Thank you.
I love that clip. He memorized the entire Bible. He was the last Bible on the earth. He was led by the Spirit to go in so that it could continue to be spread. And I love that. And that's not even a Christian movie. That's like, you know, some Hollywood movie. But I love that concept. So where are you today? As far as hiding God's word in your heart, what kind of deposits have you made into your heart, into your mind, you know? And then what kind of withdrawals are you getting out of that? You know what I found in my walk is when I get hungry or tired and I get angry, you know, the Bible says in your anger, don't sin. So I think that means we're going to get angry, but he says, don't sin. I found that unfortunately what I've been putting in comes out at those times. What I've been depositing in is what I'm withdrawing. So where are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, Denzel Washington's character in my book is a 10. He's memorized the entire Bible. I'm like a 1.2 over here, and he's a 10. You know? Where are you? Now, I love Zig Ziglar's quote when he says, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you can learn to do it well. So maybe you've never even cracked the Bible before. Maybe you were like me on October the 19th. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up going to church. So maybe you're a zero like I was. I didn't know anything about the Bible. Maybe you're a Denzel Washington. If that's the case, would you come hang out with me? Because I want to, hopefully some of that will rub off on me. So through, anyway. But wherever you are, I want to challenge you today. If you're not reading God's word, God can't help you as well as if you're reading his word. If you're depositing his word into your heart, then he can allow you to withdraw it when the enemy comes at you and tries to tempt you, when you're hungry, when you've been out in the wilderness for a while and you're ready to quit. Okay? So if that's where you are, I'm going to be praying for you here in just a second. I'm going to challenge you to get into God's word. Start in the book of Proverbs. Read one proverb a day. It takes like 4 minutes. It's only one page or half a page in my Bible. Start the Bible app. Start reading the verse of the day. If you're already doing that, I challenge you to find somebody else that you can challenge. And it doesn't have to be money. Bake them an apple pie. Tell them you'll go for a walk with them. You know, find some way you can connect with that person. Okay? We all give with what we have. We all have something. I mean, the widow had a tiny little bit of oil, and she used that. So whatever you have, just find something to connect with somebody. Now, if you want somebody to help you, to hold you accountable, I thought about putting my phone number on there, but I'd have like, you know, 500 people that I'd have to read and get back with. So Jake, in his infinite wisdom, said, when we pray here at the end, we want the home group leaders and the pastors to stand up. Go find somebody you know and say, hey, I need somebody to hold me accountable. I want this. I want to start depositing God's word, but I've tried and I failed. Or I want to start trying today. Or I need some help just to get going again. I've got a reservoir down here. I need to start putting some stuff in so it can start flowing out and God can start using me in a more productive manner. So I'm going to pray, and then when I pray, tell you what, home group leaders, stand up, and staff, stand up. Small group leaders and Sunday school leaders, okay. Okay, I'm going to pray, and after I get done, if you see somebody here, you say, hey, you know what, I think Marcus could help me. I'm going to go hang out with him. I'd like for Marcus to hold me accountable. Go find somebody. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, Father. And Lord, we thank you that we have the ability in this country to freely worship you, to read your word, and to hide it in our hearts. Lord, who knows what the future holds for our country, for our world. But right now, Father, we can freely read your word. But Lord, I want to have your word in my heart so I can pull it out every day, Father. It can just flow out of me, Father, so that when Satan attacks, I can fight back with "it is written." And Lord, I pray for every single person here right now. I pray that you give them all a supernatural hunger for your word. Lord, I pray that they go through withdrawals like they did with cigarettes and drugs and tobacco and other things. I pray that they desire you as soon as they get out of bed, that they just want to grab your word, whatever it takes to get them to that point, Father. I want to be like a drug dealer, Father. You've changed my life. I want to give them a taste like these kids that I did. I gave them a taste. Now they're hooked. And I pray that every person here would get hooked on your word, Father, that when they get up in the morning, Father, it's like when people used to smoke, they went looking around for a cigarette. They go looking around for a Bible, or they go through withdrawals, Father, until they withdraw something out of your book, Father, and deposit it in their heart. And Lord, I love this church. I pray you continue to bless the leaders here, Lord. Continue to give them vision, and Lord, continue to give them the courage to walk out the vision that you've given to them. In Jesus' name, amen.